Welcome to Conversations at the Crossroads, a ministry of Crossroads Church in Sandy, Utah, where we discuss topics related to scripture texts, theology, and the culture around us. We're glad you could listen in today. Come join us for the conversation. Welcome to our conversation. My name is Ken McCauley. With me is Pastor Matt Imadi from Crossroads Church in Sandy, Utah. And Matt, we've been going through in your Sunday morning sermons the Ten Commandments, the 10 words from Exodus 20. And one that we wanted to talk about today was the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. We know that this is, as is explicitly said in the New Testament, the first commandment with a promise.
Right.
So I guess we start right off with the first word, and interestingly, it's not obey.
Right.
So why honor and not obey? Is there a difference?
Yeah. The word is kavod, make heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Consider your parents weighty.
Glorious.
Don't take them lightly. So it's bigger than just submit to their rules. It is to give them the honor and the esteem that they are due. So I think that's part of what's going on. And I think it is intentional that this command is at the first of the second table. So if we divide up the commandments, that the first four are the first table of the law, and then commandments 5 through 10 are the second table of the law, and the second table of the law deals with our relationships to one another, whereas the first table is focused on our relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, those two things can ultimately be separated, but that the first command would be the household and family unit, the fundamental building block of society, where human beings are to learn how to function in the world, how to relate to others, how to submit to authority, how to be upstanding citizens. The first place you learn that, the first place you learn where you shouldn't kill other people or commit adultery, is to honor your father and mother.
So on one hand, this is not saying children obey every adult over you.
Right.
But if a rebellious child looks up at an adult who says, stop coloring on the walls, it looks at that adult and says, you're not my father or you're not my mother.
Right.
That child has not taken this commandment to heart.
Right. Exactly. Because what this commandment is teaching children is how to properly relate and show respect to people in positions of authority. Because God has built, as much as we don't like the word hierarchy, God has built hierarchies into the world, and we can't escape them. We all are under some level of authority. There's police forces, there's governmental authorities. Ultimately, God is the absolute authority. And so children need to learn to obey and to submit and to heed the wisdom of their parents. Their parents are to be considered weighty, in part because parents are full of wisdom.
Yeah.
That children don't have.
Or they should be.
They should be, exactly. Not all parents are upright parents. We know there is abusive parents and evil things that happen, but they should be, from experience, people of wisdom who are conveying truth to children.
And even more so, those who have developed over years in the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom.
Right.
So they're teaching, you know, the parents are modeling fear of the Lord, which is not an abject terror, but is a loving fear.
Exactly.
That rushes toward God,
right,
not away from him.
That's exactly right.
And in doing so, that is something to be followed.
I think that's part of why this word kavod, honor, make weighty, is used. That's a word that's often used to refer to how we're to relate to God.
Yes.
And so children in the household, as they learn to make their parents weighty, are learning how to relate to God. So obviously we're not saying parents should be the objects of worship, but children are to trust their parents, to obey their parents, to honor their parents. These are the kinds of things we do towards God. We're to trust him, obey him, honor him. And so you can say that even as a child learns to submit to their parents and to obey them and to honor them, they are learning to become the kind of people that will believe and follow Christ.
And now, that moves us into a question that I had, and don't recall if this came up in your sermon, when it says, children, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long. I think we tend to kind of restrict that so that we're saying, you, Johnny and Sally, honor your parents so that you won't get stoned to death.
Right.
But it seems really, though, that in the context of this chapter, what it's saying is, children, obey your parents in the Lord, or honor your father and mother, that your Israel days may be long in the land, because
right.
a culture that violates or treats lightly that fifth commandment can't survive.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think there's levels there, and you're picking up on it. Yes, on the one hand, look at the statistics about prison populations and how many of them grew up without a father in the home.
Right.
And so if you don't learn this as a child, you know, you're gonna be stoned in the case of Israel, or your life is going to be a mess. You could wind up dead. That's true. Then there's the kind of redemptive historical side of it, where if fathers especially are not teaching their sons the word of the Lord and to submit to God, well, then generations in Israel are going to be corrupt, idolatrous, forgetting the word of the Lord, and they are going to be spat out of the land that God gave them.
Right.
And so when you come to the New Testament, and Paul repeats this command in Ephesians 6, those Ephesians are not living in Canaan.
Right.
But he still repeats the command as a command with a promise. So I'll read it. Ephesians 6, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. So I think there's also a typological sense to this commandment and the promise. And it's that as you learn to obey your parents in the Lord and submit to your father and mother, yes, you will know how to live in an orderly society, and that'll go well for you. But also, you are going to learn to submit to God, to trust his word, to follow Jesus, and to have life forever in the new creation. And I think you have all of those kinds of layers here.
Right. And I find it fascinating. It's a little sad that we aren't familiar with this way of speaking anymore. But the Apostle Paul, the way he grounds the command is really telling of a different worldview, one that should be ours as Christians, because he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
Right.
Do it because it's right.
Yeah.
He doesn't appeal to pragmatism. He does talk about the blessings that will flow from it. But really, he's grounding it in the fact that there is a right and wrong.
Right.
And it flows from the fact that God is holy, righteous, that there is an objective moral obligation placed
right.
upon us by God.
Yeah.
Just by his sheer nature.
Yep.
So, you know, Paul just simply says, do it because it's right.
Yeah, it shows us, I mean, you see how the biblical worldview is undergirding those kinds of statements. Family structures aren't just social constructs.
No.
Right? God has invented fathers and mothers. You know, God has designed fathers and mothers and the family unit. He has designed humanity to come into the world as infants and to have to mature and grow and learn from their parents. So this is right. And when I preached the sermon on this commandment, I think I said at the beginning that a sermon on this topic could die the death of 1,000 qualifications.
Right.
Because you can immediately start thinking of questions that people are thinking, which is, well, what if parents are telling their kid to do something immoral? And
right.
it's like, well, the Bible addresses those things too, right? Christians, for example, should not submit to authority where that authority is telling them to do something God forbids.
Right.
Right. And so you have to work through those questions. But also, what we're not saying is that if children learn to obey their parents and honor their parents, and if parents do this exactly right, it guarantees that child will be born again.
Right.
So we're not going so far as to say that. But we're also realizing that God works through means. And so we shouldn't be indifferent, as though like, oh, well, just if God saves them, he's going to save them. So I'll just abdicate my responsibility, not take them to church, not teach them the word. because God is going to use those things. If he so chooses, he works through those means to bring a child to saving faith.
Right. It's fascinating how with any family relationship, God's commands and his patterns that he's laid out are really pretty simple. It is human sin entering That's the picture right. that makes it complicated.
Right.
Every
yeah.
time.
Yeah, I think so. And I think as parents, sometimes we can overcomplicate things with having just the right answer, or need to figure out just the right parenting strategy and read the right parenting books, so have it all figured out. But the command is really simple, that we are to teach our children, to discipline our children in the Lord, not to exasperate them. Fathers are to bear this primary responsibility to love their children, and love through showing that love in all kinds of ways, which includes admonition, rebuke, instruction, you know, playtime with them, all these things. And we're not always going to have the right answer or have all the best parenting methods or have read all the books, but this matters, that children learn to obey.
Right. And they do so in the context of an intact, loving family.
Exactly.
And that is, again, another word that is not up for discussion or modification. That's one man, one woman,
right.
in a covenant marriage relationship for life, rearing these children.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reason I say especially fathers is because Paul himself singles out fathers. Mm-hmm. And children are to learn and to obey mother and father. But God has designed the family, and he's designed dads, husbands, to be the leaders of those families. And so he singles out fathers and says, fathers, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Yes, mothers are to do that too, but fathers bear a responsibility to make sure that's the culture of the home and what's happening. And so that God, children are learning about God as father through the love and care and discipleship and discipline of their earthly fathers.
Right. And I have nothing but admiration for godly single parents.
That's right.
Who have to rear these children alone.
Yes.
Nothing but admiration as I see them at work.
Yeah.
But that said, what we really are pointed towards in Scripture is the ideal. And in Scripture, it is clear that father and mother are not fungible relationships.
Right.
You can't exchange them.
Exactly.
And so what we're aiming toward as we train up our children to have their own families is to have these intact homes, Christian, godly homes, where they are brought up to honor their father right. and mother.
Yeah, I think of the example of Timothy where Paul says, look what you learned from your grandmother and your mother.
Right.
Right. And so praise God that he can work even through broken situations. But the ideal, like you're saying, is that fathers and mothers would embrace the roles that God has given them. And fathers especially would take the initiative to train their children and to teach them, because when they do, everyone in the household will flourish. Mom, boys, girls, their children, they will all flourish under his loving leadership.
And live long in the land.
That's right.
Well, if this is something that you're interested in and would like to continue the conversation, reach out to us at conversations@crossroadschurchutah.org.